sitting there thinking, what a nice thing. And at that point, I think we'll discreetly draw a veil. Thank you very much indeed for your time. It's 7:45, you're watching the BBC's Breakfast News. This morning's headline: Israeli troops have pulled back to their self-declared security zone in southern Lebanon. The artillery bombardment of Hezbollah villages has continued. Police have received more than 1,000 calls after a tape recording of the voice of Stephanie Stacey played on the BBC's crime last night. And insurance
investigators are trying to
establish the cause of Robert Maxwell's death, say he probably committed suicide.
Had the wrong picture there. In South Africa, the Afrikaans language is under threat. The African National Congress has pledged to end its status as one of the country's two organizations of the government. At present,
you get any more?
Spoken by almost 5 million.
No.
Just Afrikaners have vowed to fight to keep the supremacy of their mother tongue. From Johannesburg, John Carson reports.
The tone is harsh, the language is strident Afrikaans. Eugene Ter Blanche, leader of the neo-Nazi AWB, is sworn to resist political change in South Africa if change means eroding white supremacy and the lifestyle and the language of the Afrikaner. The language, Germanic-based, became the tongue of the Afrikaner farming community. Having acquired equal constitutional status with English in 1925, Afrikaans also became the language of politics. Soweto, 1976. 500 people died when the government sought to impose Afrikaans as the language for teaching in black schools. Today, apartheid laws are history. Attitudes are changing slowly. Afrikaans, every other night, is still the language of news broadcasts on TV Channel 1.
It's a language that's spoken very, very widely, and if it's not spoken, it's understood by a lot of people. So, as a journalist, I feel that the message is getting across.
But the message from black organizations like the ANC is that Afrikaans, if the new South Africa, will lose its status as one of two official languages. The days of bilingual signs in a country of 11 different languages are numbered. But isn't Afrikaans worth protecting?
Which language is not? All languages are like that. It's only that you have a history where some languages were suppressed. And all we're doing is removing the suppression of other languages and saying all the languages are equal. That's all we're doing.
This issue, for people like Professor Carol Groshoff, has left the Afrikaner once again fighting for survival. He says the only solution is independence.
We need a state where the language of the people is being spoken, and that where Afrikaans will be the official language of that state. Therefore, we work for the cessation of an Afrikaner state for the future.
In the universities, a new generation, not all whites, that rejoices in diversity, continues to be taught Afrikaans. But as with most things in South Africa, change is on the way. The Afrikaans language, recorded in these dictionaries, is the mother tongue of some 5 million South Africans.
Yeah, I just saw the headlines of that. I haven't actually read it.
Afrikaans is about to die.
Yes, I must have a look at that.
The national anthem, we stand, sung by the National Party. Soon to lose its grip on power as Afrikaans is forced to compete with black languages in a new South Africa. John Harrison, BBC News, Johannesburg.
An international delegation is in Romania trying to find solutions to the planet's grave in
Romania. This has been really a very sharp frost this morning.
9 years below the national average. Christian
Murati reports from Costa Rica, one of the park is white. And the roofs are white.
In this part of central Romania, every sheep is black. They've been coated with thick black dust from a nearby factory. Just 1 year, about 5,000 tons of it settled on the surrounding area. The factory produces carbon black, used for making tires and printing dyes. Coșumnica was part of dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu's drive to drag pastoral Romania into the industrialized world. But 5 decades of poor maintenance has left an inefficient factory and dangerous workers. harmful but more deadly is the pollution from a lead and zinc smelting works. According to a government report, over 50 tons of lead and 600 tons of zinc are dumped in the nearby river each year. Levels of poisonous sulfur dioxide gas in the air reach up to 30 times the maximum safety limit. The pollution has a devastating effect on the population's health. This child came to the doctor's surgery with stomach pain. The doctor thought it might have been caused by lead poisoning.
The main problems here for children are bad chest infections and skin diseases because of all the pollution. These cases are all very common, but they're hard to treat because we're very short of medical supplies. We desperately need medicine and vitamins.
For the people of Kopchamika, closing the factories down would spell economic disaster. But the cost of a clean-up operation is estimated at £50 million, which the Romanian government says it simply doesn't have. Many here feel that their new government has abandoned them.
It's true that they can't feel our effort, but we are very concerned. We know it's a bad situation, but we're a poor country and we need help from outside. Then we'll be able to take action.
The scale of Romania's problem is immense. Kopchamika is just one of many examples of appalling neglect. But for a country preoccupied with its daily struggle to solve physical fuel shortages, tackling its disastrous pollution will rely on the generosity of the world's community.
And you can see more
his wife committed suicide. So you must, you begin to wonder what.
One word, I think, covers all eventualities.
His own stability, really, don't you? He's retired, of course. He's no longer.
Yeah, with a medal at the Winter Olympics begins today in the four-man
I think it must be, he's probably building this wall all around, and I suppose people object to the wall.
The four-man has always been their strongest event, Steve May reports.
By the end of these Olympics, Great Britain's four-man bobsleigh team may have something to shout about. First bobsleigh medal for nearly 30 years. Great Britain's last success was in the 1964 Games at Innsbruck, when Terry Nash and Robin Dixon won the gold in the two-man event.
This is a really fast run by the Britons. They could be on the way to a gold medal.
This year, Britain's number one four-man bob is led by Mark Tout. Tout's team, winners of last month's British Championships in Austria, is among the favourites for the gold medal at these Olympics. In the 1988 Games, Tout's team came a disappointing 12th. More dramatically, Tout himself and one of his teammates, Lenny Paul, wouldn't talk to each other for the next 2 years.
They were very difficult times. We went about the sport slightly different way. You know, we lived together, and that himself caused lots of problems. This year, we trained slightly differently. We didn't make the weekends. So that hasn't caused the social problems that we've had in the past. In the four men, I've got another two guys, Paul Field and George Farrell. I mean, we're really out great together, and we started to put this in the world. And I also feel there we're going to get to win the gold medal.
Bobsleighing is one of the most spectacular yet dangerous Olympic sports, with modern bobs reaching speeds of over 80 miles per hour. Coping with danger is automatically part of the training for British crews who are most servicemen.
Doesn't it?
Corporal in the Royal Tank Regiment, Lenny Paul, a sergeant in the Royal Anglians. The exception is Nick Phipps, driver of Great Britain's number two bomb. 39, Phipps is the veteran of the squad. He's a former decathlete who once beat Daley Thompson. And his previous successes include winning the 1985 World Cup two-man event in Cortina, Italy.
Driving gets better every year. In the last 2 years, really, I've been driving better than in the sort of mid-80s when I really sort of came onto the scene. You don't lose your skills, you just get better, you never stop learning. It's just the physical side. I just got to get a better crew, just gym up to push a bit faster.
Great Britain have already been on the verge of success at these Olympics. Only a poor third run by Tout and Paul stopped them from being amongst the medals in the two-man event. Today, Great Britain's four-man team promises better.
We wish him luck after poor old Wilf O'Reilly last night. Anyway, the time is...
Hi there. Good morning. Well, let's take a look ahead straight away to the weekend, see what the weather's going to be holding for us. Bit of a two-way split between the north and the south. Most of the south is dry and a little bit of sunshine about. Temperature's fairly mild, particularly up in the north, in fact. But here it'll be very unsettled with rain, more especially in the northwestern south.
Right.
Really generally over the north, with gales battering the way west to east across the country every now and again. In fact, already by the end of this afternoon, we'll have some gales moving into the far northwest of Scotland. Generally, light winds in the south, stronger winds in the north, so it's quite temperature not too cold, 10 degrees Celsius, a little colder up in the north. But some of the highest temperatures coming over on the east.
Budget and that the county is spending more in real terms than ever before. North Cornwall's chief planning officer has been cleared of unprofessional conduct. Tony Phillips faced a disciplinary panel from the Royal Town Planning Institute following a series of controversial planning decisions, but they found no evidence that he broke the Institute's code of conduct. 37 farm workers are due to appear in court in Cornwall following a fraud investigation by the Department of Social Security. Officers uncovered false benefit claims worth up to £25,000. The five-month investigation centred around workers in the Hale and St Ives area. They're due to appear before Camborne magistrates next week. Police in Plymouth are hunting thieves who stole a wheelchair from a disabled man. Timothy Taylor left the Colby wheelchair outside his home in Crown Hill while using his car. When he returned, it had vanished. 30 women from all over the southwest are being honoured today in recognition of their achievements.
Do you know, I don't think I've ever seen that before. Well, a robin has gone up onto the seeds. Now, they don't often do that.
The Liberal Democrat leader is visiting Devon and Cornwall today as the party steps up its pre-election campaign in the southwest. Paddy Ashdown, the MP for Yeovil, has a packed schedule, taking him from Truro to Exeter. And, as you may have just seen on Breakfast News, Britain's Olympic bobsleigh driver Mark Tout from North Devon is aiming to win a medal today. Mark will be racing down the track at Lachlan as part of the four-man team. Last week he came sixth in the two-man event. Take a look at the travel news for today. In Devon, allow for extensive delays at the Penny-come-quick roundabout in Plymouth. In Cornwall, watch out for lane closures on the A38 at Dobwells Hill. And for the tide times for this evening, Biddeford 20:07, Plymouth 20:16, Portland 21:21, Channel Islands 20:48. And the weather forecast this morning. It will be mostly dry with some bright or sunny intervals, but rather a lot of clouds expected later. Maximum temperature 7 degrees, moderate southwesterly winds.
Thank you.
I don't know, there's much in the post. Telephone bill. Yeah, you haven't got anything back from that yet. Yeah, I suppose they've been in a, they've been inundated with that, I expect.
I've seen another one. The address for it is.
Is that so? Let's have a look at this. This is from the AA. Travelling abroad, you know. Useful because I'd still love to do another trip abroad, you know. Go down through France. Go to Nevers, perhaps. What's Molly's telephone number? Is it 02? Is it? This wasn't yesterday. This was the 31st of January. It was 52 minutes. £2.18. Actually, it is down this quarter. It is down this quarter because our total last quarter, the balance brought forward was £17.55, and this time it's £6.76. So we've reduced the deficit, so that it is down. There's a couple, you know, one to Bridget and one to Mimelda, obviously, that we phoned them up, and that's fair enough, you know. I was just interested in that one. we phoned her, and hadn't she had all that trouble? She had shingles, and she was feeling very depressed, wasn't she? So that was probably what it was. The total of current charges was £57, and we pay £68 in Taipei. Oh, mind you, that isn't so good when I look at it, because there's four lots have gone in this month, this quarter. Still never mind. Hey. Well, yeah, I mean, it just happened that way. You know, the 20th of November, and there's the 19th of February, so it's... Yeah, £20 has gone in. Yeah. The phone calls are, well, the 17th of February looks to be the last itemised one. That was to Bridget. Oh, well, that was only last night before last, wasn't it? This is up to the 18th. This is up to the 18th of February.
19th, I
vote. It just didn't get in, right.
A message at 3 o'clock tomorrow. You want to go to give you a password, if you tell me your word, I'll go ahead and take it to finish it all right. Yes. Could I have a mother and father's Christian names, please?
A mother and father's Christian names. Okay, 3 o'clock tomorrow.
So I'm joined now by a few constable Tom Cook, one of the detectives trying to find the most wanted man. Mr. Cook, good morning.
Good morning.
Now that may be the first time viewers have actually heard that voice this morning. What should they do if they think they know him?
We would like them to listen to the voice, look at the artist's impression, put the two together, consider the other information that they've put out, particularly the red Metro car, which is about 10 or 12 years old, an old style Metro, vermilion red in colour.
But that one the other night, I don't mind it having been so big,
because it was sort of out of my conscience.
There's a leaflet here about BT, you see, and they, you know, the 0898 numbers, which are these any entertainment sort of thing, or like you ring up best on the thing. The charge to call an 0898 number from any phone other than a payphone is 36 pence per minute at cheap rate, and 48 per minute at all other times. Over half of this money is paid by BT to the business providing the informational service. So, you know, it's making a profit to all the people that are using that.
The best to get a profit.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, what about the character of the voice itself? Have you had it analysed to see where the man comes from, and even if he's putting on an accent?
Well, obviously, there's always the possibility of putting on an accent, but the tape which has been played has been heard by Stephanie. She was with the man for 8 days. There was a good amount, fair amount of conversation in that car. She feels that the voice is consistent with that voice during her period of captivity, and that perhaps even too much is guiding it.
Now, you've had this tape obviously for some weeks now. Why have you only just released it?
We want to release it as part of a package. Voices and accents on their own are notoriously unreliable. If I give you an example, I did a radio interview with a BBC interviewer who I can't name, but she thought that my accent was a southern accent. I was born in Cumberland, lived in Newcastle on Tyne, Manchester and West Yorkshire. I can't just imagine how she does that, but she did do.
Well, I can say that wasn't me.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't you now. But I say you have to get part of a package for a number of reasons. One, we want to be able to control the information we get. Inquiries of this size tend to get swamped by information and have to run it back, and we don't intend that to happen. Equally, feel we get a better response from the public.
Gosh, and you can also now, if you're on a digital exchange, I don't know whether we are on a digital exchange. 50% of BT's customers are at present on these exchanges, and you can have a call barring of information and entertainment services free of charge to all customers. You can request that no one, including yourself, will be able to call information and entertainment services on your telephone while call barring is in effect. But many of our customers have found this call barring service too sweeping. They would like access to those services which they find useful and informative, such as road and weather reports, sports information services, family entertainment services, and a variety of services provided by charities. But they may want to prevent calling to numbers containing an element of adult services, group and one-to-one chat lines. To meet this requirement, BT has introduced a new partially barring facility. Now you have the choice of full call barring or only partial call barring. Which, while stopping calls for those numbers that include adult services and chat lines, will enable you to continue to enjoy information and family entertainment services. God, I didn't even know that you could bar them.
February 19th, March.
Oh, does it? Yeah, so he's just in.
Most of these prisoners should be sent to psychiatric hospitals, not prisons. For over 20 years, hospitals have been held.
Unexpected strain.
Oh dear.
Well, that's not surprising.
Mars, your ruling planet, normally endows you with drive, but as Saturn draws nearer, your energy level will decrease. Now, how about that?
Mm.
So what's your name? This is an extremely significant time. A close relationship has undergone a complete transformation. Solar eclipse. You may feel insecure this week, I was
thinking.
But it's only a temporary.
Oh, good.
Increasing security and fulfillment. Investments are proving sound. There's no need to worry about expenditure. Oh, good. So I'll go out and have a rest. I hope. I am feeling strong and looking confident on the outside. So you must try and believe it on the inside.
Of insecurity, despite the Football Association's promise of an annual £2 million.
The planets are on your side. Venus associates with the first of the hardware place now, which makes for romantic and especially on the 19th. Money, finances become a little shakier. Saturn, the planet of restriction, approaches Venus on the 26th. This is not a time for speculation. Health. Liberals generally are enjoying good health. However, those of you who were born in early October may need to rethink your diet. And the end of September as well, I should think.
If you're thinking of going to France this year, you'll be delighted to hear that we're currently offering a 3-week inclusive holiday in the south of France for the price of 2 weeks. Ask at your local AA shop for details of this and the free ferry crossing offer.
Elsewhere, it's semi-finals day in the ice hockey. Favourite unified team, here beating Finland on route to the last four, take on the United States. A match which will rekindle memories of a classic Olympic final in Lake Placid 12 years ago. The Czechs meet Canada in the other tie. And also the women's figure skating title will be decided tonight for 20-year-old world champion.
So do we want 3 weeks in France?
The first American
I don't know. I mean, it's... Well, I know we are then, yeah. And if we book a deal with them through P&O European Ferries, if we book one car and a person on a standard return fare crossing, they'll give you a free 5-day return to be used on the same route in autumn. Remember, this deal is exclusive to the AA, so don't just get across once, cruise across twice. Okay, so I'll go and get the paper, right? Okay, well, I'll go and get the paper then. Hello. Oh, you're lovely, aren't you? Good morning.
Good morning. It's a cold one, isn't it? Oh, lovely. Hello. Oh dear. Good morning. I'm glad to see there's another one as idiot as mine. It's embarrassing, isn't it?
That's a beautiful sight, isn't it? Oh dear, the colours of the trees reflected in the lake. That really is beautiful. And the gulls, and it's so still. That would make a painting, wouldn't it? That is beautiful. Good morning.